Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
A long December, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last. I can't remember the last thing that you said as you were leaving, but the days go by so fast, and it's one more day.
Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to another breaking news edition of For All You Kids Out There, a Mets adjacent baseball prospectus podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro. With me once again on the car phone, it's Jarrett Seidler. Jarrett, Carlos Baerga got the scoop.
Are we just going to do daily episodes now?
I don't know why we're doing it now instead of, we usually do daily episodes for the winter meetings. We're recording this in the Late morning for me, early afternoon for you.
The Mets signed a free agent to a record AAV contract. Do you think that warrants recording eight hours earlier than we
otherwise would? It'll be the daily podcast, unless the Mets also do something else. But maybe they're done for the day. Who knows? Anyway, the Mets signed Justin Verlander to 2 years, $86 million, with a $35 million vesting option.
Yeah, I mean, but if you listen to either of the last two podcasts, both of us have been told this likely on Friday.
Yeah.
I think it's probably done on Friday, too.
Sure.
The Mets preferred Verlander to DeGrom. I assume that's going to overtly come out pretty soon. But
I mean, it's two. It's 286 versus 5-1.
I want to be clear. That's not me reporting that based on, but I mean, the Mets preferred Verlander. that's not a report.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying, Verlander.
Yeah, I'm not reporting this as a reporter. The Mets preferred Verlander to DeGrom. I've reached out to a few sources, and every source I've talked to, every other media person I've talked to in the last, this happened about an hour ago. Jeffrey was busy.
I'm sorry, I could not immediately drop everything I could do to fire up the Skype machine.
How dare you? You have a 2.5-year-old child.
And she's in daycare right now.
Okay. Well, you're writing 900 million lists, et cetera. I also work, too.
Yeah.
I'm taking my lunch for this. You know, everybody I've talked to says Verlander on this deal is just a way better idea than DeGrom on that deal.
Yeah, I mean, it might not. I mean, there's certainly downside risk with the Verlander contract. He's 40 years old and only a couple of years removed from Tommy John surgery.
Right, but, you know, he had a 1.75 ERA last year.
And
didn't have any significant health problems and outside of the Tommy John. And he had a few issues his later years in Detroit, but he generally pitched 200 good innings more years than not for his entire career.
Yeah, he had like a brief DL stint or IL stint last year, but through 175 innings, it's not like
literally
won the AL Cy Young. To be clear, we should mention that.
Right. You know,
he's only 40. He doesn't strike out as many batters as he did in his prime.
Yeah, because he only throws 96 now instead of 101.
Yeah.
But you know. If you're listening to this podcast, you don't need us to give you a Justin Verlander scouting report,
yes.
I hope. Right. The Mets wanted to draft him when they took Philip Umber 18 years ago, and they were going to take him at 3, and the Tigers bought him at 2. That's a famous story. And look, I mean, again, this is not me reporting. I do not have sources close to Justin Verlander. I've never talked to his fail brother in my life. Based on things I have read and things I have heard, it sure looked like the family wanted to either go to New York or L.A.
Sure.
You know, he's married to one of the most famous women in the world. And, you know, I think the guy maybe didn't want a Tom Brady himself, if you know what I mean.
Also, you know, Houston's in a weird spot right now, as we've talked about.
Yeah.
You know, he remarked that he hadn't talked to Jim Crane until the last time he talked to him, which, you know, weird.
Yeah,
and it didn't really seem like Houston was that. In the same way, the Mets didn't seem super interested in a reunion with DeGrom, Houston did not seem super interested in a reunion with Verlander.
Teams and players get tired of each other, and
yeah.
DeGrom, I guess, is entering the mercenary phase of his career. Verlander's been in it for a while. Verlander's been in it since he waived the no-trade clause 30 seconds before the deadline in 2017. So, you know, he's... it's really interesting to think at that time, Detroit had to eat some of the contract and get a pretty weak return just to clear his money. And here we are 5.5 years later, and he's signing a record AAV at 40 years old. So that probably says something about the relative evaluation skills of the mid-late 2010s Detroit Tigers
versus
mid-late 2010s Houston Astros, right?
So, do you remember the three pieces in that trade?
Daz Cameron
was
the main guy. Was Jake Rogers in that deal?
Jake Rogers was. And there's a third one. Former top 101 guy.
Oh, God. I don't remember the third one.
Franklin Perez.
Oh, that was after he had already started getting hurt, too.
Yeah. Do you know he actually pitched? Never. He pitched for the first time since 2019 this year as a 24-year-old in the Florida Complex League. It did not go well.
Good for him. Good for him. If you had told me he had retired, I would have believed you.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, it's the Craig Billy Beane quote.
Yeah.
The Billy Beane tweet, right? Like, Gertie retweeted that today, you know? Makes 27 moves to make his team slightly cheaper and slightly better. Billy Epler signs Justin Verlander. Makes no sense. Yeah. People are padding it. The same people, the same, let me go look at I just had this sent to me. I'm sure that this person who got his transaction analysis out immediately panned this. Yeah. I mean, yeah. They overpaid. Who cares? I mean.
Every deal can't be an overpay. I mean.
Right. I mean, this actually isn't as negative as most of it is, so whatever. I don't give a fuck. Why do you care? Who cares?
Like, they're clearly going to go over 290 because they're already basically at 290.
Look, there's no, there's opportunity. When you sign Mike Clevenger, there's opportunity cost because Mike Clevenger might suck and you're still pitching him.
Right.
There's basically no chance that Justin Verlander both sucks and is still pitching, right? Yeah. There is, shit happens, but the guy had a 1.75 ERA last year. Aging curves usually aren't that steep. He's probably either going to be good, great, or hurt. Those are the three reasonable outcomes.
Like, if you told me he threw 167 innings of a 3.11 ERA next year, that's fine. Like, it's below expectations, but that's like
overpaid, and who the fuck gives a shit?
He wouldn't
even
be that. He wouldn't even be that wildly overpaid. That's probably like a 4-win pitcher, give or take, depending on context.
There is no other pitcher for whom that would even be a median outcome. The closest one is Carlos Rodon, and I don't think it's an actual median outcome.
Right. I think DeGrom's median outcome is a lower ERA, but far fewer innings.
Yeah. I mean, look, I again, the reaction the more, because obviously it was the weekend and I had some stuff going on. So I actually I talked to a lot of people about the ground this morning.
A lot of people were flying out to the meetings too. That we would.
Yeah, a lot of people have been flying out to the winter meeting. So it was actually kind of tough to get in touch with people. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Also, some people have been busy with like trade negotiations and Rule 5 prep and shit like that. But you know, I would say the industry reacting to DeGrom getting 5, really 6 years is outright bewilderment.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought he would get 3 and thought that was too hefty. The money's fine, yeah. But, you know, this is the same thing that's going to happen with Carlos Rodon. It's going to happen with Jameson Taillon, too, because it sounds like he's going to get a 4 or 5 year deal. Injury-prone pitchers, you're trying to predict, and again, those guys have all had a lot of varied arm injuries. Right. Justin Verlander had a Tommy John, that's different.
Right.
I think all of those guys have had Tommy John. DeGrom had one. Taillon's had 2. I think Rodon had one at one point, too.
He did, yeah.
But they've also had, like, shoulder shit and other elbow shit and this and this and that. Trying to predict whether Carlos Rodon is going to be healthy and good in 2027 is a lot more difficult than figuring out whether Justin Verlander is going to be healthy and good in 2024.
It's not even about figuring it out, per se. It's just about identifying the amount of variance, right?
Right. The left tail outcomes on Verlander are significantly less bad than any other pitcher on the market. Is it possible his elbow or his shoulder goes? Yes, but
that's true of like any pitcher in baseball at any given time, basically.
Right. Other than like Sandy Alcantara, I think it's no more true for Verlander than it is pretty much any other pitcher. He's except for the 2020-2021 Tommy John and recovery.
Like, is he actually any more likely to get hurt next year than the Cy Young runner-up, Dylan Cease, who's almost 15 years younger than him?
No.
I don't think so.
And again, 3-4 years out from the Tommy John is generally considered, to the extent that there's a safe time, that's considered the safe time,
sure.
Right?
I do think Scherzer. He's more likely to miss like 6 weeks with an oblique or a hamstring or his back tightening up or something like that, given his age and how hard he throws, than anything else. But again, I think that's within sort of normal. Like at that point, just don't sign a free agent pitcher if you're worried about that stuff.
Right, but
the Mets have no choice. Yes,
the Mets are going to be a bad team next year. And again, if money is not a functional object to you, if you are going over luxury tax, if going over the draft pick drop luxury tax threshold is built in, if your owner spends more than this on art installations, there's no point not to sign Verlander. I mean, you could just sign Verlander and DeGrom, but again, this is unreal. You could find Verlander and Rodon too. That's probably more realistic.
I mean, there was a moment, I would say, last offseason where they're going to sign both Gausman and Scherzer. So,
yeah, and they probably wouldn't have signed Verlander if that was the case.
Sign Verlander if that was the case. But
yeah, I mean, they need to find somebody, right? But yeah, I think. And this is a Met fan conditioning thing based on the Wilpon-Alderson regime. And I don't know if it still exists because Alderson is still around and there's still that mindset. But there's this mindset that, okay, we're looking for one top of the rotation starter, one third starter, and one fifth starter instead of just the best 500 innings we can get. And I hope they're not caught in that, because if Jameson Taillon is going to be almost as expensive as Carlos Rodon or Kodai Senga, they shouldn't sign Jameson Taillon just because they need a, quote, fourth starter. Because they don't need a fourth starter. They need 300 more good innings or 200 more good innings or 150 more, you know, however you want to project that out. And some of that's a moving target with you know, bullpen quality and, you know, are you keeping Peterson and McGill and this and this and that? So, you know, I don't want to see them give Jameson Taillon 4 years and $75 million or something like that. If you're going to do that, just fucking sign Rodon, right?
I saw this pointed out on Twitter, and I think it might have been Rob Orr. I think it was somebody, or Wink, was one of the Phillies people. Like, the idea is there's some sort of, like, pitch mix upside with Taillon that has not been fully maximized yet, but also, like, the Yankees are really good at that, and they had him for 2 years. And he was a league average starter.
So, Jameson Taillon has better pitch characteristics than he has shown. Phil Fermano, who listens to the podcast, and I think was going to send in a question, I don't know if he actually got it in or not, asked me on Twitter why Taillon was a lot hotter on the market than Walker. And the answer is, and you can get this idea, it doesn't exactly track, but if you look at their Savant pages and look at the, you know, heat maps on the top right, the little box, the summary box with the percentile outcomes, you can kind of see this. Taillon has good extension and good spin and good attack angle and this type of stuff. And he has not gotten the whiffs you would expect given the raw quality of his stuff. Walker does not have particularly good pitch characteristics and also doesn't get a lot of whiffs, which is a bigger problem. And that's not to say that Taillon has been a better pitcher for the last 2 years than Walker has. He hasn't. Walker's been a better pitcher. But if you're looking at, with our pitch design, with our staff, which guy is going to be better over the next 3 years, you're going to say Taillon. And a lot of teams are going to say Taillon.
Sure.
That's why Taillon has, I would say, medium quality pitch design teams going after him. Now, you also have to, the Yankees couldn't figure out Andrew Heaney either. The Dodgers could, or the Mets up there with the Dodgers. No, they're not. But are there particular, it wouldn't shock me if there's particular, you know, a good team on this type of stuff is going to have not just evaluated Taillon as a player, but worked with the pitch design department and the major league pitching coach. This is why you hire all these
right,
guys.
But you're also not paying Andrew Heaney prices. He's going to get like 70. You're paying him like a number three starter, and he hasn't been.
Well, yes, yeah, so I'm building up today to just sign Andrew Heaney instead of Jameson Taillon. That's where I think Taillon represents a player-friendly sweet spot to the market, which is starting pitcher that
doesn't have a qualifying offer attached,
who has some nice pitch characteristics, who has been a nice pitcher, but there's better out there. I would not be rushing. Look, you just signed the best starting pitcher on the market, so if you sign the best starting pitcher and the eighth best starting pitcher, I don't think it's a disaster, but I think there's still an opportunity here to sign the fourth or fifth, and it might not be at a terribly different cost.
Right.
I also think the cost difference between the eighth and the ninth, which would be Taillon and Heaney, is not going to be significant, and at that point, I think you'd rather sign Heaney. This gets back into the opportunity thing I was talking about earlier. There's some chance, if you sign Jameson Taillon for 3 or 4 years, that he's going to end up being bad at some point, because he does not get many whiffs, and he's not particularly good at batted ball suppression. So he is a command guy at this point. He's a command guy with interesting pitch characteristics that some teams and some models think that they can get to become a whiff guy, but he hasn't been a whiff guy with the Pirates or the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is actually the point that Tyler Anderson and Heaney were at last offseason, but the Dodgers are a lot better at this than the Mets are, the Phillies are, et cetera, which is the other secret sauce. Now, are the Mets getting there? Yes. Have they made the big leaps in this offseason? We don't know. Eric Jagers is really good at this. He's also only one guy, but they've brought in a lot of other people.
He's also been there a month. Like, he's still learning where the copier is. Yeah.
Right. So, like, there's a lot of moving parts here. If you told me if 2025 Jarrett comes back in the past and tells December 2022 Jarrett that this was the point at which the Mets became a great pitch design team, it wouldn't surprise me. But I can't tell you that yet. We don't know yet. We're not there yet. It may have happened. We can't see it yet, if it did. So that's my kind of where do we go from here. It sounds like they're probably out on Rodon.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like they're still in on Bassett.
My guess is that they sign either Senga, Bassett, or Heaney. Possibly two out of that bucket. It does not seem to me like they have a ton of interest in bringing Brandon Nimmo back at this point.
Or really any bats, which is interesting. I guess
They've been connected in free agency with second-tier bats. This is a prediction. This is not a report. My prediction is that they trade for an outfielder, they do not sign anybody, that they trade for somebody.
The current, I've seen, Benintendi wants to play in the Midwest or South, or prefers to.
Yes. There was a Joel Sherman report that they had some interest in Benintendi, but it didn't look like anything was going to come together. The headline was a little more sensational than I think the actual report was in that case, which is the thing that happens. The New York Post writing sensational headlines where the news doesn't actually... never heard of that one before. Look, the sentimental side of me, which is that Steve Cohen had called Jacob deGrom up 20 minutes after he signed the Lindor contract and said, hey, let's sit down and make you a Met for life, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not where we are. The relationship between the team and the player disintegrated over the last, 18, 20 months. And Jacob deGrom's gotten hurt a lot. Again, I don't mean to be breaking news here. I am purely going off of that option structure and publicly reported injuries, that's a pretty concerning medical profile. That kind of option does not get put in that deal if the guy has clean medical.
It's not the John Lackey option, but it's also kind of like the John Lackey option.
We know there's a UCL problem because Danny Alderson said so, and we know there's a shoulder problem because he missed 3 months with a shoulder problem last year.
Right.
So, this isn't like, Daniel Espino where, there's not entire clarity on what the issues are. Like, we know what the issues are. He's missed a lot of time over the last 2 years with elbow and shoulder problems, which were not corrected by a Tommy John like Verlander's elbow problem was 3 years ago. 2 years ago. We're in that weird state of mind where my head thinks 2023 baseball season. I'm also already writing both stuff for the annual and stuff that's going to go up on the website after the year. So it's like 2022 is already last year for me in a baseball sense, which is always good.
But it was August 2020 or thereabouts was the surgery, I think.
Right. So, they either lost the best starting pitcher on the market and signed the second best, or they lost the second best and signed the best. And either way, I think it's pretty close, and it's kind of a pick your, I was having a discussion with somebody before this. Assuming the Carlos Baerga report was true, which it turned out to be, Carlos Baerga actually broke this. And remember, as we pointed out, as was pointed out yesterday, Andy Martino did not deny the actual report that Carlos Baerga.
You just said there was no deal agreed to, right? Which Baerga just said they were close.
Said there was no deal agreed to at that time. A different thing. Mm-hmm.
Turns out they were close.
Yes. They denied something that was not actually what was said, which is a classic misdirection if you want to get people off of the trail of something that is true. You deny something slightly different than what the report is. That's actually a political trick more than a sports trick. How I learned to cover the New York Mets by watching The West Wing by Jared Spencer. You're not even going to watch another TV show?
No, you do that. I do that for you for Game of Thrones, and you do that for me for West Wing. That's the bit. We don't do the reverse.
Okay. So, you know, when that started coming out, I had a discussion with somebody, and the discussion was whether you would sign DeGrom or Verlander, if that was the contract for both of them. I think that's a more interesting question than would you sign Verlander 2+1 or DeGrom 5+1, because I think if you took a poll of major league executives and excluded the guys on the Mets and the Rangers for being biased, it would be close to 100% that you would sign Verlander in that instance.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
I mean, if you were the Dodgers teams, and had the option between Verlander or DeGrom, you're probably signing Verlander.
They were really hard after Verlander and weren't really hard after DeGrom, so yeah.
And the Dodgers are probably better or more likely to manage DeGrom more as a 5-6 inning guy than the Mets would have been and than the Rangers are.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't want to dump on the guy on the way out because that's like the New York Post.
Right.
Like the shit we were talking about last night, and I genuinely don't want to do that, but God, I think it was Christina Carl tweeted a poll where she asked what the most likely number for him to eclipse over his career in terms of innings with the Rangers was, and it was like 1, 500, 600, 800, 1,000 or something like that, and I gotta tell you, I voted for 1. Because, you know, that's, look, he's about 10 years out from his Tommy John, and we know he has UCL damage. I think
he's more than 10
and
years
they put
out
an option,
now, but yeah, he's like,
they put the option in the contract that was basically a Tommy John get back option. That means they think there's a pretty good chance to get the Tommy John during his tenure there.
Yeah.
Like, I know what that means. I do this enough. It sucks.
Right.
Again, the sentimental part wishes that they had just gotten this squared away and, you know, he was a career Met, but he's not, and I understand. We are paid money to analyze baseball in an unsentimental way, sometimes in a sentimental way, too. And, you know, there's a pretty good chance that over the course of his deal, that Justin Verlander provides more wins above replacement than Jacob DeGrom does over the course of his much longer deal.
Yeah.
I would probably take the Verlander side of that. But it's close. And, yeah, I mean, this is a good – if you had no sentimentality, no feeling about DeGrom or Verlander – and look, I – understand there's people that have feelings about how Verlander handled himself with the Astros cheating and with Roberto Osuna, and I do not, if you have those feelings, those are perfectly valid feelings. That's outside of the scope of what we're talking about here. But if you are looking at this from a cold, calculating, unsentimental, what makes the bets better next year, Verlander probably makes them better than DeGrom, just because I don't think you can reasonably count on DeGrom to throw that many innings.
Do you think the Mets do anything else today? Or are we done recording for the Monday of the winter meetings?
That's a really good question.
It does seem like stuff's going to start. Now with Verlander and DeGrom off the market, it does seem like things are going to start to speed up.
Yeah. That's a really good one. So they did the 3 signings in one day last year. Again, I do not think this deal was actually included today. These things tend to have a reporting lag time. The word on the street on this was out on Friday. It got reported on Sunday. That means that it was probably done Friday or Saturday. or close to done or whatever you think, you know, that sometimes this stuff takes a lot of I's and T's dotting too. Mm. Like this is a massive business and legal commitment. And there can be a lot of stuff involved in that that's more encompassing than just like, hey, you're coming here for this amount of money. Like there's contract language, there's medical reviews. Mm. You know, Verlander may have wanted to consult with his family. The Mets may have had dual track negotiations going on. He may have wanted to give the Astros one last shot, even though he knew they wouldn't take it. That I don't actually think that happened. That does happen. I do not believe that happened here, but I don't know that for sure. There's a lot of stuff that happens like right at the end of these that sometimes Clayton Kershaw's contract was done 3 weeks ago. It leaked 3 weeks ago and it got announced today. And nobody would even confirm the number figure today. My understanding is that was because he was on vacation, basically. He took vacation after the season. Mm-hmm. So the point I'm making is I don't think the Mets were actually working on this two or three hours ago necessarily. So they could be up to other stuff is the point I'm making. So I'm going to say a qualified no to that, in part because I think these things do have some lag time. So if they, say, got close with Kodai Senga, we might not hear about it for another day or two. And also I would expect...
You could have just said no, Jared. It's already a half hour.
Some of these moves will not go official until after the Rule 5 draft because of 40-man consideration. Mm-hmm. So that's also something to consider. But yes, I think no, but I'm not sure of that.
All right. Well, if something does happen, we'll be back later today. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow for another edition. Up for all you kids out there.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.